John, 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What will we be? Has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purifies themselves, just as he is pure. The word of the Lord. Thank you, God.
Good morning. I'm going to ask if Elsa can come forward at this time. Elsa has been going to our church since she was in fourth grade, and she's in her first or second year in college, correct? Third year of college, good night. How old do we get? And I used to give Elsa a big hug every door, and I used to go, "You're my favorite." And then she heard me sing at someone else, and she goes, "I thought I was your favorite." But this is interesting. We're on All Saints Weekend. Oh, thank you. I forgot to give him the mic. We're on Saints Weekend, where we're honoring the saints that have gone before us. But there's somebody that you knew without a doubt that you were his favorite. Who was that person?
That was my tito, or my grandpa.
Okay, we'll put a picture of your grandfather up.
And
was that you?
Yeah, the fat baby was me.
The fat baby? Okay.
And he was a very kind man.
Okay. How did he pass?
He got meningitis.
Okay.
And what it did is it sends fluids to your spine and to your brain nerves or whatever.
Okay.
And what it did was it makes you paralyzed, and after you're paralyzed, you start to slowly lose your memories.
Okay. And he passed away at home, and you were at the home with him.
Yeah, I was in the room when he passed away.
Okay.
So
why was he so special to you?
He was my grandpa.
Okay.
And he was always kind to people. If you came to him for advice, he would give it to you, and he wouldn't lecture you. He would listen.
Okay.
And
there's definitely enough lecturing in the world. So he loved you for who you were.
Yeah.
What was your fondest memory of him?
Oh, so many.
Okay.
One thing he would do when we were little to my brother and my sister and I is if we were watching TV and we would be like, our mouth would be open. Like, we were like fireflies to the TV. He would pull on our toes and tell us, "Sirinde," and that means surrender. And we would try to say it in Spanish because we couldn't. He would just keep pulling.
He would pull your toes?
Yeah.
So it was like a physical abuse, and you had to call children's services?
No, yeah. Another thing that he would do is he would call me mi reina, and that
reina
means my queen.
Okay.
In Spanish. And, you know, I miss that.
Okay.
So.
And your sister, it's funny, she knew you were his favorite. She goes, "He didn't say it, but everyone knows that."
I mean, I did get away with murder a lot because of him, so, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. So what was the main thing that you've learned from him in his life?
From him, just when people come to you for help or just wanting you to lend an ear, just listen.
Okay.
Don't lecture, just sometimes it's good not to say anything and just be there and listen. Right.
And he was very good at doing that.
He was always the peacemaker in my family.
Okay. Now, this theme of this service is called The Powerful Life. And so how do you think you became better because of his influence in your life?
To be honest, I hope that I become exactly like him. I hope I'm exactly a peacemaker, someone who's kind, someone who talks to you, and when they do give advice, they don't put you down. Okay. They're just there for you.
Okay. So if your grandfather, last question, if your grandfather was here, you'd probably be pulling everyone's toe, asking them to surrender. But what do you think he would be telling us in the congregation about life? What advice would you think he would give us?
About life?
Yeah. About how we should live.
Honestly, I don't think he would say anything. I think he would just let you vent.
Okay.
And let you talk and let you tell your story. And he would be there and console you and give, if he felt needed to, he would give you okay. advice. What I would say to learn from that is just be there for people. Don't be tough. Don't be hard. Just be there. Just listen and know that you are loved. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Elsa. Let's give her a hand. Well, thank you. Good, great job. And Corrick Taylor and I met about 19 years ago when I became the pastor here. So he's one of the three people that have been here longer than me. There I go, forgetting the mic again. And Corrick, we met in the Marie Callender's restaurant, and he tells me, there's no way this guy's going to make it. And also, too, he's determined that I said at that meeting that I had brain cancer.
He had a brain tumor. That's what he told me.
I go, I do not remember saying I had a brain tumor. So 19 years later, we're still arguing about, no, I'm healed, I guess.
Yes.
Or kind of did.
Very good.
But you had a big family. You have a big family. Tell us about
I have a very big family. And this, hopefully the picture's coming up.
Yeah.
This is my dad. And my dad had 6 kids, and I think 19, if I'm doing that right, my love? 19 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
You know, he lived a very full life. He passed away about a year and a little over a year and a half ago.
How did he pass away?
I can't look at you, Kevin, because you're going to...
Okay, I'll look
Kevin
this
and I have this conversation about...
I'll look this way.
about crying and
yeah.
and I try not to cry publicly. It's just me.
I do.
Real men cry. Trust me, real men cry.
Okay.
So.
So how did he pass away?
So he was a long-term smoker, and he got emphysema, and struggled breathing towards the end of his life, and he actually went very quick. You know, some people struggle many years, but he actually passed away probably 6 months after it got real bad.
So what is your fondest memory of your dad?
I have a lot of memories of my dad, mostly being beaten or punished. he was a disciplinarian.
Okay.
But I think my fondest memory of my dad was at the end of his life. He didn't have much, but he enjoyed golfing. And a couple years back, my brother took him golfing on Father's Day, and he loved it. And he said, hey, you kids, let's go golfing. And he had 6 boys and 1 girl, and so all of us boys got together. We took my dad out golfing, and we just had a blast. We were terrible. He was worse. but we had an amazing time. And every time I go golfing today, I go golfing regularly with my brothers, always think of my dad and how much fun we had.
So what was the main lesson that you learned from your dad that you can apply to your own life?
Don't beat your kids. don't beat your kids.
Put them on timeout.
Yeah,
I wish I had timeout when I was a kid.
Do timeouts. Dad taught me many things. I think probably the greatest thing that he taught me was relationships. He wasn't much of a talker. He didn't say, I love you, but he showed it. And that's very similar to me. Although I do tell my kids I love them all the time, mm-hmm. I think that's a difference between us, mm-hmm. but it's just relationships.
Okay. How do you think you're a better dad, a better person because of your father?
You know, I don't think I'm a better dad. For sure, I don't think that. I'm actually a lot like my dad.
Okay.
But I think I'm a better person because my dad always wanted something better for me. He really grew up with hard times. He didn't have much education. He was a foster child. He really had a really hard life, and he wanted something better for his kids. And he got it. We're all pretty good kids. You know, we all are pretty good parents.
It's great.
It's debatable, I guess. But we do our best to make our dad proud.
Okay, one last question. If your dad was here and he was giving advice to the congregation or to us, what do you think your dad would tell us?
I think he would say, focus on relationships. You know, he didn't tell us he loved us a lot, but we knew he loved us. But I think he would say focus on relationships. You know, that's the one thing about our family. You know, I hear people talk about, oh, I can't go see my in-laws, or I can't hang out at Thanksgiving with my family because we don't like each other. Our family, we love each other to death. We would do anything for each other. And that's one of the things my dad instilled within us. And I think that's what he would say to you today, is that if you're struggling with a sibling, you know, you're bickering and arguing, you know, make amends. You know, get back together. That's your family. And they're important.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, Corey. I didn't make you cry.
Nope.
You did a good job. Give an applause to Corey. Thank you so much. I'll take the mic. I'm going to call Sylvia up. Sylvia, she's very, very good friends with my wife, and we are family friends. And I just wanted to kind of do this lead, and I want to show you one picture, if you can show this picture here. This is a picture of Christine, and she was part of our church way back 2010, 2011. She came to our church after her father died, and she was really struggling. And so we've watched her being healed and emotionally healed, and she met her wonderful husband, moved up to Ventura, and she had this beautiful baby, but she realized after the birth of her child that her child had a heart defect. And so they had to raise their daughter to the children's hospital, and she put on Facebook, does anyone know anyone in this hospital? And she was panicking. Well, Sylvia is one of the head doctors at the LA Children's Hospital. So I called Sylvia. She had her work voice on. I remember, you know, I was like calling my wife at work. Yes, what do you want? Yes, I'm at work. And she connected, and she was assigned to oversee the recovery for Christine's baby. And so this is a picture of her and the baby now, and they are completely healed, and just it's great. But being a doctor doesn't mean you're exempt from pain yourself. And so, Sylvia, we are talking about your brother. So tell us, yes, tell us the story. I don't know why I'm doing this with the mic. Tell us the story about your brother.
My brother, Manny. I'll never forget when it's been 10 years. Can you imagine how fast time flies? But we're sitting here on Sunday at church, and it was a Sunday where you had a special guest.
Yeah, and she got in a wreck.
Yes, and so the person was sitting here in a wheelchair talking about the accident that they had been in, that they were driving down the road with the top down and the convertible, and I can't remember if it was she and her husband.
Her husband.
But they flipped, and one of them died. He died, and she was there.
No, she was fine, but he was fine, but she was paralyzed.
She was paralyzed. And I'll never forget sitting there. I leaned over to Dave, and I said, wow, I just don't know what I would do if that ever happened to me, like if somebody died or something major like that happened. And the next day, my brother died in a car accident. And it's like, God was like, this is what you're going to do. And so I got the call from Dave. They called Dave, and then they called me at work. And I'm at work like, what do you mean? And so he was hit head on and died instantly, thank God. So
why was he so special to you?
I'm one of seven. We're a big family, too. And I have four brothers and two sisters. And Manny was just funny. He was always, of my four brothers, all of them are really good. They're so smart. They're really good with IT stuff and building stuff. But Manny was a dentist, and he's hilarious because he would always find a way to kind of get himself out of doing the construction stuff at home because he was the second. He was number two, my second oldest brother. And my dad would have us out in the backyard and have the boys building something. They were always building something, building a shed, building. We had a merry-go-round and a slide, and it's not because we were wealthy by any means. They built it all. And so Manny would find a way to be like, that looks good. That looks really good. I'm going to go over here and see what's going on. And he was just always very, very patient. And he actually has a son, or had a son. He still has a son who has really severe autism. And he was so patient, always so patient with my nephew. And so that's what I appreciate about him.
Right. Do you think that's one of your biggest lessons you've learned from him was patience with your three children?
Oh, I don't know about that. But, yeah, definitely just to watch him with my nephew was just beautiful.
Okay, great. So, we're again, the theme is the power of the life. And so how do you think you are a better person because of your brother?
Well, I try to practice patience as he did. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to be patient and to be kind, especially when people are not being patient and kind back to you. I can't stand rudeness, but I always tell my kids, you kill them with kindness. When people are rude, you just kill them with kindness. And sometimes I just want to punch them with kindness, but you can't do that.
But punch them with kindness?
Punch them with kindness.
We'll get a teacher, Marine Christian Fellowship, punch them with kindness.
But I think that he truly was the example. Everybody would always say, oh, your brother has the most gentle hands when he would work on them as the dentist. And say he would be so gentle and just have this very calm demeanor. I'm a very hyper person. Mm-hmm. I'm just like my father, but my brother, Manny, was very much like my mom. Mm-hmm. Very calm, very patient. It's okay. Huge Cowboys fan. huge Cowboys fan. And when my other brother, Alan, is a huge Cowboys fan, too. And when the Cowboys would lose, Manny would be like, it's okay. We'll get him next time. And my other brother would be like, and so it was just really nice to watch him take things in stride and I'm trying to learn to do that more.
It's almost like his legacy. Like what you love about your brother, you're trying to live it. And
exactly.
What you admire about it. So let's say your brother, the dentist, the Dallas Cowboy fan, was sharing with us. What advice would he give us as we're honoring the saints that went ahead of us?
I think he would definitely say, take life one day at a time. It truly is a gift. And to be patient, to be kind, to be generous with your time, and to let people know you love them.
Okay. Thank you, Sylvia.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. I'll put it back. At least I'll do one.